like to get into the final Sunday of Advent. This is the fourth Sunday, also known as the Sunday in which we light the candle of love. The birth of Jesus was both a promise fulfilled and a promise enlarged. And this is the day that we reflect on Mary's words. So as Mary sang at the end of her song in Luke chapter 1, verse 54 and 55, Jesus was indeed the fulfillment of God's promise of love and mercy to his people, Israel. So Mary sings there in the last few verses, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised their ancestors. So here we see the birth of Jesus Christ as God's promise to Israel, to his people, that he will redeem and rescue and save them. But, you know, Mary's song was also, in anticipation of the birth of Jesus Christ, was also a promise enlarged. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus' birth is more than just Israel's history. The promise is more than for Israel, but also beyond Israel's history and borders. So Mary realized that with the coming of her baby, God had a promise that was not just for her and her people, but also for the whole world. And Mary discovered this as she was carrying the baby around for some magical way, maybe mystical way. So it's a discovery that every person will hopefully make as they think about the birth of Jesus Christ. So on this Christmas, it's not Christmas Sunday, but this is the Sunday before Christmas, I'd like to share with you a little bit about this story of discovery, and maybe this can be a way to help us think about what Mary experienced and what she learned, and how that applies to us and the whole world. So let me start by, you know, sharing with you this picture. Can anyone tell me where this is? Anyone? Well, yes, it is. How did you know? You've been there, okay. That's right. This is Washington Square Park in the heart of Greenwich Village, and surrounding Washington Square Park is New York University. And this is near. So this is a picture of one view of New York University, NYU. Betty and I studied in NYU in the early 80s, and we earned our bachelor's degrees there, and we met each other there. So NYU was has a lot of sweet memories for both of us. When I enrolled as a freshman, however, in the fall of 1980, I was not happy, okay, because NYU was the last college choice for me. I had applied to a bunch of other colleges, and not one of them, except for NYU, accepted me. So most of my other friends went to Ivy League schools, others went to colleges out of New York City, but I was stuck commuting to school, because back then, NYU did not have dorms. Well, they had dorms, but they were really lousy dorms and too expensive for us. Is that me? Okay. All right. So I was unhappy because of that factor, but I was also unhappy because I was facing a crisis of faith. I grew up in the Chinese church. My father planted the church and I spent all my childhood and youth in that church. But I as I became a young adult, I started to feel like that experience was very insular. I was becoming very curious about politics, race relations, and history. I was interested in knowing what God was doing or what people were doing outside my tiny little Chinese church. I wanted to know what the world outside this ethnic immigrant church was like, and I felt like that being raised in a Chinese Christian church like that was very limiting. So when I went to NYU, I made a decision. I was going to avoid anything that seemed religious, especially Christian stuff. And so instead, I joined a couple of other secular clubs, including the Chinese Student Association. And I thought that the Chinese Student Association, the CSA, would help me better understand myself, my culture, and teach me how to get more engaged and involved with political in the political empowerment of Asian Americans. That's what I thought. I had these ideals that if I go to the Chinese Student Association, I'll get a chance to break my religious boundaries and get to where the action was. But, lo, to my chagrin, the Chinese Student Association turned out to be nothing more than a party club. All they cared about was ski trips and hookup parties. No one reached out to newcomers. No one made any effort to make newbies like me feel welcome. Not even an initiation ritual. Even if it was a nasty initiation ritual, at least I would have felt like I belonged. But nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I would go there, sit there, and just No one would talk to me. I would just sit in the back there. No one would greet me. And maybe I would have a friend of mine in high school who would be there, but that person often felt just as uncomfortable as I did. And we would hang out together, and we just looked at each other and shook our heads. There was just no one there really actively showing any interest in me in the Chinese Student Association. So this was my first taste of life outside the church. Not a very welcoming place. So 3 months into my freshman year, I felt more lost and more lonely. I felt like I was lost in a bamboo forest at NYU. No place to go, but all this, Chinese culture, Asian culture is everywhere, but I just felt lost. And I shared this story with you before, until I met Linda Wong, okay? Again, Linda was a high school classmate of mine. She was in my class, and she sat behind me because her last name is W and my last name is T, so, in alphabetical order, she sat right behind me. And I liked her. She was a very attractive woman, and I wasn't the only one who liked her. There was a number of other guys who were interested in her in high school. I was attracted to her before I went to college, but then I was also surprised that she wound up at NYU. And during high school, I knew that she was not a Christian. She never talked up. Whenever we talked, she acted like being a Christian was weird or a surprise that anyone goes to church. So I knew she wasn't a Christian. She didn't go to church. But when she approached me during my freshman year at NYU, she seemed a lot happier than she was in high school. And for some reason, there was something else about her, a bounce about her that made her very gregarious, wanting to connect with people. More than it was like in high school. In high school, she was one of the prettier girls, so therefore, she knew she had some street cred. I don't know what you call it, but she knew that she had more leverage, right? So because she didn't have to do much outreach, others guys would go after her. But in college, she came to me, and I thought, wow, did something happen to me? Did I improve at some place? I don't think so. But she approached me. But the main reason was that she wanted to invite me to join the Chinese Christian Fellowship. A chapter of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. So I did. I said, okay, I'm feeling lost in this bamboo wilderness, so I might as well go, and since you're a pretty girl and I like you, I might as well just follow you, And I went along like a happy dog and followed her to the Chinese Christian Fellowship. And that became a life-transforming experience for me, because when I got, even though I didn't want to go back to my Christian roots, going to the CCF changed my life. I was welcomed so warmly by everyone, especially the leadership of the fellowship. The members showed a genuine interest in me. The leaders wanted to get to know who I was, and they invested a lot of time in me. They kept on asking me to go out to eat. They showed me where all the cool Chinese restaurants were in the village. And then it was a walking distance to Chinatown, so having not gone to Chinatown much myself, they showed me where to get good food in Chinatown. And I spent a lot of time hanging out with them that my studies suffered, but it was great. It was worth it because they showed me what life is about. It's not just about study, and it's not just about the CSA, hanging out, partying. There is something about being alive, being in a community that's so much better than anything else I've experienced. And in fact, we can talk about anything. We talked about all kinds of topics, from race to philosophy, does God exist, and who cares, stuff like that. And they were always willing to engage every question I puzzled over with them. Yes, it's true that I met Betty at the Chinese Christian Fellowship about a few months later, but the most important thing that happened to me there, second most important next to Betty, okay, maybe it is the most important, it's a toss-up. The most important thing that happened to me there was that my perspective and outlook on life had flipped, completely flipped, because of this genuine warmth, this love that the people at the CCF showed me. And in the years afterwards, my life script also flipped, and I started on a path to ministry and Christian service. This is the kind of experience that I hope happens to everyone. I know that in a college environment, it's kind of unique because everyone's the same age, and you don't really have to deal with family people who have kids. Everyone's the same age as you are, so it's easier to get together. As you get older and have to work in the work world, you have to work with people of different generations, older people, grandpa figures, as well as little children. It becomes much more difficult for people to create that kind of community. But I recognize that college was a very unique time. But the fact that the Chinese Christian Fellowship exuded this type of love flipped my life. It flipped my script entirely. It showed me that Christian faith can be real. It's real. It's not just ideas. It's actually lived out in the way we love each other, the way we care for each other. Does that make sense to you? Have you had that experience? I hope you have, because if you do, that's what makes Christianity real, at least to most people I know. So this is exactly what Mary realized. And that maybe not that kind of intimate love, but she realized something when the angel Gabriel announced to her that she would give birth to a child, to the Messiah. She realized something happened, so her own thinking flipped. She said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That's a sign of her flipped mentality, of flipped thinking. For he has been mindful of this humble state of his servant. Okay, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary realized that she had been chosen by God, and because of that, her life is not the same anymore. Everything has turned around. She wouldn't be just Mary, that ordinary girl, farm girl, with no claims to fame or wealth, but now she was going to become the mother of the Messiah, the one who would transform all of human history. She would be known as the Blessed One. And because of this, God did some great things through her. So I really, really want to hope that on this Sunday before Christmas, as we sum up in Jesus Christ's birth, what it means to be a believer, that this becomes rich and deep in you, this idea that when you encounter God in a real way in your life script's going to flip. Okay? And just like Mary did, just like my life did. But the flipping of Mary's script was more than just gaining a new name. In her case, you know, gaining fame. It was more than just getting a new perspective. It's also her way of thinking about her God flipped too. The more technical term is that her theological perspective flipped, sort of like Moses at the burning bush. Her assumptions about God and the world were stood on its head, because once you encounter God, everything you look at is different. And I want you to all have that experience too. So let me see if I can explain that. Okay, so for example, she says in her song, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm." So in other words, God doesn't only bless Mary and change his perspective, but Mary recognizes that God is about the whole world. His mercy extends to those who would fear him. It's not just about her own life, but about the world around her, the people of Israel, everyone. Furthermore, she says, let me see if it's not shifting. Okay, here he goes. "He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty." God is flipping the script of life. God's social analysis reverses the inequities and the injustice in our world. I don't know, you know, most of us grow up thinking of faith is about how God blesses me and loves me and helps me through life. But this is that part of understanding God that we don't spend enough time thinking about. God is not just concerned about my well-being, but about the whole world. And when he sees suffering, when he sees people in darkness, when he sees people who are hurting, God wants to flip that script. Amen? I hope you agree. So I don't want us to ever forget that is a fundamental part of understanding Jesus Christ. It's not just about me. It's about what God wants to do in the entire world. Am I doing that? I might be bumping into my mic. Sorry. So what's Mary singing about? She's singing about not just herself. She's singing about the whole world. Everything's changing. It's about flipping the script. Is it about this? Is it sort of like taking this picture and flipping it upside down? Is that what Mary sees? Well, I want to just make one caveat, just to make it a little bit more clear. It's not really about turning a right-side picture upside down. All right, there is a flipping going on there, right? It's really more like this. Let me see if I can get it to work. Okay. In reality, before you meet Jesus, before you encounter God, we already lived in a world that's flipped. The world that we live in has an upside-down script. Okay, that's called the fall, using classic theological terms. Because of human sin, we have fallen, therefore we do not live the right script. Everywhere around us, the script is already upside down. It's not what God wanted. All right? So we got used to growing up thinking that this is the normal way of life. Everything should be like this, upside down. Everything is upside down, but it's normal. So we've gotten comfortable with social inequality. We've gotten comfortable with pain and suffering around us. In fact, the way we get comfortable with that is that we try to escape it, right? We try to do all we can to make ourselves comfortable because this is the world as it is. Sorry, the world is a capitalistic world, is a free market world. You just have to adjust to it and live and try to do your best. So that's become the norm for us, this upside down world that we live in. And that's why everything we do is motivated mostly by fear that this world is going to destroy us and make our lives lonely and make our lives horrible. And we have to work so hard, and we're fearful that if we don't work hard, the quality of our lives will not be what we want it to be because we got used to a flipped script. So when Mary's life got flipped, what happened to her was that she realized that the way she had seen life was wrong. In fact, it's time to look at the world from God's perspective, in which the script is flipped rightly. Does that make sense? All right, so this is hopefully not too complicated, but I hope that the basic message is there. So wherever you come from, remember, if you have not encountered God yet, most likely you're living in the left slide. You're living life looking at everything upside down, not the way it ought to be. But when you encounter Jesus Christ, as Mary did, things should be flipping the other way around. It ought to be. Okay, so just to reiterate this point in celebration of the new Star Wars movie. By the way, I'm not going to watch it until less people are at the theater. I know Stanley, you saw it, right? Did you see it? I thought you got tickets. Oh wow! I'll talk to you about that later. I know that it was hard to get tickets for the opening, but just going back to Yoda, okay, even Yoda understood that the life that we live in is the script that we live in life is not the proper script. I mean, what does he say? Especially given his manner of speaking, his flip manner of speaking, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Actually, this doesn't sound like Yoda. He actually doesn't talk like that. He would say, hate, anger leads to. Suffering, hate leads to. That would be the way he talks, right? And so, but even he understood that there's something wrong with our world, right? The script is messed up. It starts with fear, and that continues to make life even more difficult and scary, and it leads to hatred and violence. Yet our world today has gotten used to embracing fear, anger, vengeance, hate, and violence as the norm. And even though it leads to great human suffering, we still accept it. We don't want to do anything about it. In general, we shield ourselves from it rather than changing it. So I think what Mary discovered, and what I discovered in experiencing God's love, is this very simple point. On Christmas, with the birth of Christ, God is flipping the script. He's flipping our perspective. He's changing everything that we think is normal and reinserting the new normal. He's just as, and in 1 John 4:18, John says it very clearly, there is no fear in love, as opposed to a life driven by fear. A life driven by love has no fear. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in punishment. So that's what Christmas means to me. Hope it does to you as well. So what would it be like, imagine with me, if we all had our scripts flipped? Okay, what would it be like if you just had this discovery and it changed, blew your mind, your whole perspective of life has changed? What would it be like if we had learned to love as God loves? Just imagine. And I have a number of questions for you to just think about. What would it be like? Oh, and you know something? I didn't type it out here. Okay, what if we lifted up the weak instead of putting them down? What if everyone did this? It's not likely that the whole world will do this, but what if everyone in our church did this? When we see people who are in great need, that we spend time and energy and resources investing in lifting them up. What would happen if the rich served the poor rather than the other way around? Imagine that. What would happen if we learned to love our enemies? What would happen if every day we die to ourselves and live for Jesus Christ and for others? Isn't that the life of a flipped script? Now, I know that it's not easy, because it's hard to get away from that norm of the script we live in, but Christmas time is here. It's a good reminder. Jesus came to flip our script, and I hope that you and I are willing to follow him in that process. So the world is about to turn around, and it has in some ways, but it's going to turn around again. Are you ready to join God and help flip the world? And I can think of a few practical examples before I close. Like, you know, I want people to say, when they come to your small groups or to your fellowship groups, that I really want to be there, because there are people who are reaching out to me and are saying to me, after our fellowship is over, let me meet with you over coffee or a meal and spend some time with you. I'd like for people to come to our fellowship groups feeling that they are that much welcome, just like my experience at NYU. That I love you so much, I'm deeply interested in you, that I'm going to take time to be with you after we finish our fellowship, and after church. And not only in a group setting, but on a one personal level. Because, I have to confess to you this, sometimes when I attend, I don't want to pick on our young adults, but it's not all their fault, okay? Let's put it this way, it's not their fault entirely. But sometimes when I go there, I feel like an alien. And it could be because I'm so much older. I can be their parents, right? Like, my son is now 24, right? So some of our young adults, I can be their parents. So there's always going to be the gap there between comfort level. So sometimes I come away from young adult fellowship feeling like, man, I don't belong. I'm not loved. No one cares about me. And I'm not saying that this happens all the time. But when that happens, I feel like, you know, if it happens to me, I wonder if other people feel the same way. Probably not, because if they happen to be the same age, it's a little easier. But I still think that in our setting, intergenerational love should still be there. We should still learn how to relate to people who are not the same generation as we are. Just like we encourage us to work with our children, and we teach our children to relate to adults. Well, young adults should also learn how to relate to older people like me. Otherwise, you make me feel old. You know, there's no that's what happens. So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that this is the norm of every single Asian American young adult group I've been to, ever since I crossed the threshold of 40. I've never been able to figure out how to feel comfortable in that group. And I think that the only way things can change is for me to adjust to that, or to have a good number of young adult leaders who have their perspectives flipped, who say, I don't care, I'm going to reach out to that old fart and learn to like that person. If that happens, you will see a change. So are you ready to join God and help flip the script in your world and in the world outside? I want to say it could be done. There are practical examples, even in a non-spiritual way. The Beatles flipped the script. If you know anything about the entertainment industry of the 1960s, the Beatles brought in African-American music, and they brought their British experience, and they completely transformed the entertainment industry. I don't know if it's for better or worse, but they also, because of their values, transformed culture. So Beatles were able to flip the script. Bruce Lee flipped the script for Asian Americans. Especially, I mean, if you were around before his movies came out, Asian American men were really, you know, I don't know, they were not viewed very, very favorably. In fact, even today, they're not viewed that great, but better than it was before, because of Bruce Lee, all right? He showed that Asian men could be tough, we could be macho, we could be heroic, right? And so Bruce Lee flipped the script of stereotypes against Asian American men in particular. So it has been done in the past. How about us? You and I, we can get out there and flip that script. It's Christmas time. It's time to do it. So join me, brothers and sisters, and pray that God will give you this desire to change things, because it starts with your change in your heart too. But if your script's been flipped, then it'll be easier to flip the scripts around us. So as we turn our time to prayer, I'm going to encourage you, if you have a bulletin, on the back of the bulletin in the sleeve, there is a place where we are you can put down a prayer request, put your name down, and then a follow-up email. So we're going to spend some time talking to one another in prayer. And this might be a time, if you want to stand up and move around, it's fine too. But go find somebody and ask for a prayer request. Ask God to maybe open up your perspective so that you can see this new vision that he has. And ask someone to pray for you. Or pray about something that you need help with. Or think about a place where God might be asking you to do something. So this is a good time to share with each other. And most of all, ask God to heal each other, because we all come with brokenness in our lives. So can you all stand up for a minute, and then I'm going to ask you to just stand with me for a second. All right, if you can sort of walk around a little bit and find a partner and take your bulletin out and then sit down for a couple of minutes and just share with that person a prayer request, okay? We have a number of guests here who are just here for the first time, so please reach out to them, okay? Get a bulletin. There are plenty of bulletins available. And in the next 2 minutes, I'm going to give you time to find somebody to sit down with and share your prayer request. And then I'll close for us in prayer. I hope you're all doing well with your prayers. Can I close for us? Okay, so afterwards during the reception and the party, feel free to reconnect with each other. Okay, and I hope that last week some of you actually followed up with each other. It's really helpful to know that somebody's praying for us. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, we are so grateful that you've given us each other. And I know that sometimes we live life thinking that the current norm is the way it ought to be, that things will never change, that we go to places where people are always going to be the way they are. There's no real love and care and affection, or even those who care are just within our small circle of friends. Sometimes we look around and we think that there's so much brokenness around us and within us that no one really wants to do anything about it. But God, There's no other way to say this, but on Christmas, you want to change everything. You want to heal us. You want to help us to be restored to wholeness, and not just us, but the entire world. So God, I just pray that you hear our prayers as we have shared them with one another. Help us also to be the answer to the prayers that we make, so that we won't just passively receive love and grace, but also be active agents of your love and grace. Help us, O God, this week, during this Christmas break when many of our college students are here, to remember to reach out to them in love. When we reach our families and spend time with them, help us to reach out to those who are hurting and suffering, those who are maybe have not yet seen Jesus Christ. Help us to reach out to them as well. And as we prepare for the new year, help us to put on a happy face and happy heart, because we know that you are about to do something tremendous and new. Help us, oh God, just to live each day in your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And before Chris comes up,